Okay, so we're on text 9 in the Vishwarup Yoga, chapter 11, universal form. Arjuna has requested to see what he's heard about in chapter 10. Krishna said, Ekam Senasti To Jagat, with just one part of myself, I pervade and support the entire universe. And Arjuna wants to see that. He requested to see it. Very humbly, and Krishna agreed and then gave him a preview of what he's going to see, and now he's about to manifest it, and Sanjaya will be describing that to us. Sanjaya is also empowered to see this form, and he's describing it from text 9.
Sanjayo vacha eva mukva tato rajan mahayogeshwaro harihi darshayam asabhartaya paramam rupam aishwaryam.
Sanjaya said, O king, having spoken thus, the supreme lord of all mystic power, the personality of Godhead, displayed his universal form to Arjuna. So, Darshayam Asa. This means that Krishna is manifesting or showing Arjuna the universal form. It is not that the Visharup is the original form of God. The Visharup is subordinate to Krishna. And Hari Darshayam Asa. Hari, Lord Hari, showed it to Arjuna. Darshayam Asa. It is a feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not the original form of God as the Mayavadis think. So, here Sanjaya refers to the Lord as Hari. Hari has many different meanings. It means monkey, lion, snake, Yamaraj, Indra, and it means moon and rays and various other meanings. Hari also means one who steals. So particularly when it's in context with the meaning monkey, because monkeys are fond of stealing and not giving things back. So it suggests taking away and not giving anything in return. So this is how a monkey or a thief acts. Thieves or monkeys don't usually give things in return for that which they steal. But Hari is different. He steals away the inauspiciousness from his devotees or the sins of his devotee, and he bestows upon them love of God. So this thief is transcendental thief. And Hari also means he who removes the inauspiciousness of his devotees, and he steals away their hearts also. You know that the gopis accuse Krishna of stealing their hearts in the middle of the night. But they complained that he didn't steal away their agony of separation when he left Vrindavan. So they wanted him to steal that also. But he left them alone in the forest to weep in separation. So Sridhar Swami therefore defines Hari in the Bhagavatam, he who removes all the suffering of his devotees. And the question may be asked, how was Arjuna suffering? Well, he was in anxiety to see the universal form. So Krishna here, Hari, indicates that the Lord will remove Arjuna's anxiety by showing him the Visharup. And it's coming up in the next verse.
Aneka vaktram nayanam, aneka adbhuta darshanam, aneka divya bharanam, divyaneko yadhyutum.
I'm sorry.
Divyamalyambaradaram Divyagandhanulepanam Sarvascharyamayam Devam Arantam Vishvatomukam.
Arjuna saw in that universal form unlimited mouths, unlimited eyes, unlimited wonderful visions. The form was decorated with many celestial ornaments and bore many divine upraised weapons. He wore celestial garlands and garments, and many divine scents were smeared over his body. All was wondrous, brilliant, unlimited, all expanding. All of these things indicate that the universal form was dressed. Divya Malya, had beautiful garlands, Divya Ambara, and clothing and ornaments. Abharanam, different ornaments, various kinds of scents. So this indicates that he was well dressed, and all of these items are offered to a person. So even the Visharup is personal. It's not impersonal. Because if you're offering a helmet, a garland, to the impersonal form of the Lord, where to put it? There's nothing there. But the universal form has all of these heads and arms, and although it's not an ordinary form, but still it's a personal form. So Prabhupada mentions this in his one class. He said, even in Visharup there's personality. Well dressed is not possible in the in-person. He must be a person. And he also comments upon the word aneka, which appears four times in verse 10. Prabhupada says, in these two verses, the repeated use of the word many indicates that there is no limit to the number of hands, mouths, legs, and other manifestations. And Prabhupada mentions in one class that aneka also refers to svamsa and vibhinamsa, that the Lord manifested all of his svamsa, direct plenary expansions, forms of Vishnu, and so forth. And he also manifests his various vibhinamsa expansions as the living entities, the demigods, and so forth, various servants of his. And they were all seen by Arjuna. So not only were there many hands and mouths and legs, but there were many different kinds of entities. This is Prabhupada's explanation or further elaboration on the word aneka, which means not one, but many. Text 12.
Divi Surya Sahasrasya Bhavet Yugapar Uttita Yadi Bhasadrishi Sasyat Bhasastasya Mahatmana.
If hundreds of thousands of suns were to rise at once into the sky, their radiance might resemble the effulgence of the Supreme Person in that universal form. So here, Sanjaya is trying to give a mental picture of this great revelation to his master, Dhritarashtra, the blind king. So Dhritarashtra could understand that the sun is powerful and bright, but he cannot understand what the universal form is like. So Sanjaya is giving this as some type of idea for the king, so he could at least imagine what it might look like. Text 13.
Tatraikastam jagat krishnam pravibhaktam anekatha apasya deva devasya sharire bandhavastava.
At that time, Arjuna could see in the universal form of the Lord the unlimited expansions of the universe situated in one place, although divided into many, many thousands. So, tatra ekastam. So there, in one place, Prabhupada comments, it's significant, indicates that both Arjuna and Krishna were sitting on the chariot when Arjuna saw the universal form. So the universal form was a separate form than Krishna. So there was Krishna there on the chariot, and then the universal form appeared separately. It's not that Krishna grew into the universal form or transformed himself. He was still there. Prabhupada comments, others on the battlefield could not see this form because Krishna gave the vision only to Arjuna. Arjuna could see in the body of Krishna many thousands of planets. As we learned from Vedic scriptures, there are many universes and many planets. Some of them are made of earth, some are gold, some are made of jewels, some are very great, some are not so great. Sitting on his chariot, Arjuna could see all these, but no one could understand what was going on between Arjuna and Krishna. So only those who were given divine vision were able to see the Vishwarupa. Later in text 20, we'll hear some other things being said, which not contradict this, but add to the understanding. But we'll discuss that when we get there. So at least we can understand here that Arjuna was able to see the form, and most of the other people on the battlefield were not able to see it either. And also, we can save your questions. We're going to go all the way to text 30. So just jot down your questions. There's going to be a lot of details, and we're going to go very fast. So just write down your questions, and then at the end we can discuss all of these things. Arjuna saw all the different planets. Tatraikastam Jagat Kritsnam. Jagat Kritsnam means the complete universe. And all the different planets made from all different substances. Pravibhaktam anekada. The unlimited expansions of the universe. Situated in one place, although divided into many, many thousands. So we're seeing a huge vision with many thousands of planets and manifestations in this form. Text 14.
Tata savismaya vishto rishta roma dhananjayaha pranamya shirasa devam kritanjalira bhashata.
Then, bewildered and astonished, his hair standing on end, Arjuna bowed his head to offer obeisances and with folded hands began to pray to the Supreme Lord. So, even though Arjuna is dhira, very sober, still he's surprised to see this amazing form of Vishwarupa. So here he's folding his hands and he begins to speak. Kritanjali means he folds his hands in the pranam. In the pranam. And he begins to speak. He calls Krishna Devam out of his great reverence. Deva means one who's worthy of receiving great praise and respect by sages and demigods and realized sages and other persons. So, although Arjuna was amazed, and it says Rishta Roma, that his hair began standing up, and it means that he was tasting one of the secondary rasas called the Adbhuta Rasa. There are five primary rasas: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsaya, Madhurya. And then there are seven secondary rasas, and Adbhuta is one of them. And so here, Arjuna begins to experience his Adbhuta, which means astonishment. Astonishment. This is the translation of Adbhuta. He's amazed. So he closed his eyes here, not out of fear, but to taste the Adbhuta Rasa. To taste the mood of astonishment and wonder. and his hair stands on end. So this is one of the anubhavas of the Adbhutarasa, the hair standing on end in ecstasy. And we will see that many, actually I think it's all except one of the 12 rasas are manifested, or at least mentioned in chapter 11. I have many of these things are discussed or mentioned here. Prabhupada also comments, here Arjuna was inspired by the relationship of wonder. And in wonder, and in that wonder, although he was by nature very sober, calm and quiet, he became ecstatic. His hair stood up and he began to offer his obeisances unto the Supreme Lord with folded hands. He was not, of course, afraid. He was affected by the wonders of the Supreme Lord. The immediate context is wonder or astonishment. His natural loving friendship was overwhelmed by wonder, and thus he reacted in this way. So wonder or astonishment, that's the same thing. Text 15. Arjuna vacha pasyami devam deva deva dehe sarvam sata bhuta vishesha sanghan brahmanam isham kamalasanam stam vishingscha sarvam dhrgamscha jivyan. Arjuna said, my dear Lord Krishna, I see assembled in your body all the demigods and various other living entities. I see Brahma sitting on the lotus flower, as well as Lord Shiva and all the sages and divine serpents. So again, Arjuna refers to the Lord as Deva, which indicates the highest reverence which Arjuna became filled with upon seeing the Visvarupa. And we see that everything in the universe is being seen by Arjuna, the Lord Brahma and Shiva and Ananta and Vasuki. And this. Text 16. Aneka bahudara vaktra netram pasyami tvam sarvato nanda rupam ananta nanya punastavadim pasyami vishveshvara vishvarupa. O Lord of the universe, O universal form, I see in your body many, many arms, bellies, mouths, and eyes expanded everywhere, without limit. I see in you no end, no middle, and no beginning. Text 17. Kiritinam garinam chakrenam cha tejo rashim sarvato diptimantam pasyami tvam dunirksham samantad. Your form is difficult to see because of its glaring effulgence, spreading on all sides like blazing fire or the immeasurable radiance of the sun. Yet I see this glowing form everywhere, adorned with various crowns, clubs, and discs. So, the word cha in the first line refers to the lotus flower and the conch, which are not mentioned in the verse. There's helmets, maces, and discs. So Krishna also has the lotus flower and the conch. And it's another feature of the universal form is that it has glaring effulgence. It's so bright. Teja Rashim or Dipti Mantam. Very bright form. Hard, difficult to look at even because of its brightness. Niriksham. Durniriksham. It's hard to see. Just like it's hard to look at the sun in the middle of the daytime. So if you can imagine if there was 1,000 suns, it would be that much more difficult to look at. Now it's not so bad in coming in. In the middle of the day, it's very difficult. And the word dutim here is
referring to?
Arka Dyutim, sun, the shine of the sun. Arka means the sun. And the word aprameyam means immeasurable. But even though it's immeasurable, Arjuna will attempt to describe the immeasurable in the next verse.
Tvam aksharam paramam veditavyam tvam asya vishvasya param nidhanam tvam avyaya shashvata dharma gupta sanatanastvam purushomateume.
You are the supreme primal objective. You are the ultimate resting place of all this universe. You are inexhaustible and you are the oldest. You are the maintainer of the eternal religion, the personality of Godhead. This is my opinion. So Arjuna gives his opinion as far as possible as to his understanding of the universal form. Even though it's aprameyam, it's immeasurable or understandable. But Arjuna makes some attempt here in this verse. Says, this is my opinion.
Anali madhyantam anantaviryam anantabahum shashi surya netram pasyamidvam diptuhutasha vaktram svatejasa vishvam idam tapantam.
You are without origin, middle, or end. Your glory is unlimited. You have numberless arms, and the sun and moon are your eyes. I see with blazing fire coming forth from your mouth, burning this entire universe by your own radiance. So, here, Arjuna repeats himself. As he said in text 16, the same thing, that you are without origin, middle, or end. So repetition is generally not considered very good. But in astonishment, fear, or wonder, it's considered to be suitable. So, because Arjuna is experiencing this astonishment or wonder, he's repeating himself. And this verse begins the description of that special feature of this universal form shown at Kurukshetra to Arjuna, which is different from the other universal forms which were shown to the Kauravas in their assembly, or Madhya Yashoda, or at any other time. That is here the statement, fire, hutasha vaktram, that fire is coming out of the mouth. So this is means the color rupa, the time feature of this Vishva rupa. This color rupa was not exhibited by the other Vishva rupas. And this is the beginning of the description of this most gruesome feature of the universal form. Because when fire starts coming out of the mouth, you know that you're dealing with a pretty horrendous and frightening, gruesome form. And it will get worse before it gets better. The sun and the moon are your eyes, he says. So we know that this is a fact. Sashi means moon and Surya means the sun. Sashi Surya Netran. So the sun, it burns the demons, and the moon cools and soothes the devotees.
Apritivyoridam andarangi vyaptam vayakena disharcha sarva rishvadhutam rupam ugram navedam lokatrayam pravyatitam mahatman.
Although you are one, you spread throughout the sky and the planets and all space between. O Great One, seeing this wondrous and terrible form, all the planetary systems are perturbed. So, Prabhupada comments, Dhyava Prithivyo, the space between heaven and earth, and Lokatraya, and the three worlds are significant here, because it appears that not only did Arjuna see the Visharupa, but others in other planetary systems saw it also. Arjuna, seeing the universal form, was not a dream. All whom the Lord endowed with divine vision saw that universal form on the battlefield. So it wasn't just Arjuna, but the devas, they also saw. And actually, Arjuna was able to see the demigods too, as we'll understand in the next verse, I think it's mentioned. And also, in this verse, the word Ugra Rupam is used. It's a horrible, terrible form. And the word Mahatman, which means the shelter of all. So, with the seeing the Visharupa, all the demigods and all the planets were disturbed. So they, since they all rest in Krishna, ultimately, then here he's being called Mahatman, and because all of them are perturbed. So in other words, Arjuna is saying that they're perturbed indicates that he can also perceive that. So that means that he's able to see the demigods. And because he sees them disturbed, he also becomes disturbed. Just like if you were just walking, you know, outside, maybe at dusk or something, and somebody came up screaming like frightened out of their mind, then it would affect you also. And so this is Arjuna also becomes affected by seeing all the demigods totally frightened. Yeah. Text 21. Amihitam sura sanghavishanti kechit vita pranjala yoganti swastit yukva maharshi sera sangha stuvanti tam stuti vipushkalabhi. All the hosts of demigods are surrendering before you and entering into you. Some of them, very much afraid, are offering prayers with folded hands. Hosts of great sages and perfected beings crying all peace are praying to you by singing the Vedic hymns. So the first, the demigods are praying in fear. So they're saying, Pahi, Pahi, please protect us, please protect us. And secondly, the rishis are chanting, Swasti, Swasti, let there be peace, let there be peace. And Prabhupada says here, the demigods in all planetary systems fear the terrific manifestation of the Vishvarupa and its glaring effulgence, and so prayed for protection. So they were praying, Pahi, Pahi, like this. Pahi Mam. Right? Rama Raghava Pahi Mam. Text 22. Rudra Didya Vasamo Echa Sadhya Vishve Svinao Marutas Chauma Pascha Ganharva Yaksha Sura Siddha Sangha Pikshanti Pam Vismitas Chaiva Sarmi. All the various manifestations of Lord Shiva, the Adityas, the Vasus, Sadyas, Vishwadevas, the Ashvis, Maruts, Pitris, Vindarvas, Yakshas, and Asuras, and Siddhas, and all the perfected demigods are beholding you in wonder. So there you have a big list of all of the manifested demigods seen in the Visharupa. And all of them are amazed by seeing the Vishwarupa.
Rupam mahate bahu vakra netram mahabahu bahu bahu ruparam bahudaram bahudam srakaranam drishva loka pravyatitas tataham.
O mighty armed one, all the planets with their demigods are disturbed at seeing your great form with its many faces, eyes, arms, thighs, legs and bellies and your many terrible teeth. And as they are disturbed, so am I. So, as I said, Arjuna becomes influenced by seeing the demigods are so frightened.
So, therefore, from Adbhuta, now the Bhayanaka rasa takes over as the secondary rasa of fear. Vayanaka.
24. Nabha sprisham deeptam aneka varnam vyatananam deepta vashala netram trishvahitvam pravyatitantaratma dritim navindami shamam shavishno.
Translation. O all-pervading Vishnu, seeing you with your many radiant colors touching the sky, your gaping mouths and your great glowing eyes, my mind is perturbed by fear. I can no longer maintain my steadiness or equilibrium of mind.
So here he calls the Lord Vishnu, which means that he's all-pervading. But it means all-pervading forms. Not just because he's all-pervading, he's become impersonal. Prabhupada commented in one lecture, he said, it does not mean that because all-pervading, there is no form. Form is always there. So there's all-pervading form called Vishnu. And here, as far up as Arjuna looked, he only saw this form. And all the way up. As far as he could put his head back, he just kept looking up. He saw nothing else but the form. It was so huge. So he says, oh Vishnu, seeing you touching the sky with your gaping mouths. He couldn't see above the universal form. One commentator on the Harinam Vyakarana by Jiva Goswami, his name is Sri Gopal Swami, he says that Vishnu means he who pervades the universe, removes the devotee's maya, or illusion, delivers them from the ocean of birth and death, and engages them in devotional service. So, by referring to the Lord as Vishnu, then automatically Arjuna is referring to these three things, that wants to be freed from any illusion, and he wants to be engaged in devotional service and delivered from the ocean of birth and death. Text 25.
Dangstra karalani chate mukhani drishvaiva kalanala sannibhani tisho na jane nalavecha sharma prasida devesha jaganivasa.
O Lord of Lords, O Refuge of the Worlds, please be gracious to me. I cannot keep my balance seeing thus your blazing death-like faces and awful teeth. In all directions I am bewildered.
So the word kalanala mentioned here is to describe that these blazing death-like faces are the fire of destruction at the end of the universe.
So you can see this. It also, this form has huge teeth also, which is very frightening. There's huge teeth with fire coming out of the mouth. with all of these heads and arms, and it's big up to the sky, and it's bright so much you can't even see it. So you can imagine how frightening that is. So it's no wonder that Arjuna is feeling fear at this point. So now, in the next five verses, it is described things that Arjuna will be very interested to see, which are future occurrences, particularly about Bhishma, Drona, and Karna. Ami chatvam dhartarashtrasya putra sarve sahai bhavani pala sangai bhishma. All the sons of Dhritarashtra, along with their allied kings, and Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and our chief soldiers also, are rushing into your fearful mouths, and some I see trapped with heads smashed between your teeth. So, Prabhupada comments, in a previous verse, the Lord promised to show Arjuna things he would be very interested in seeing. Now, Arjuna sees that the leaders of the opposite party, Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and all the sons of Dhritarashtra, and their soldiers, and Arjuna's own soldiers, are all being annihilated. This is an indication that after the death of nearly all the persons assembled at Kurukshetra, Arjuna will emerge victorious. It is also mentioned here that Bhishma, who is supposed to be unconquerable, will also be smashed. So also Karna. Not only will the great warriors of the other party, like Bhishma, be smashed, but some of the great warriors of Arjuna's side also. So indeed, this is very interesting for Arjuna to see this. Because this was one of his great worries, anxieties, that he had to fight with such great persons. Both because they were so powerful and difficult to defeat, and also because that they were his teachers. And he loved them very much. Bhishma was his grandfather, and Drona was his teacher, and so forth. So he definitely was in anxiety about fighting with them. And now he's seeing that they're being smashed with their heads trapped between the teeth of the universal form.
Yatha nadinam bhavom buvega samudrame vabhi mukha dravanti tatha dhavami naraloka vira vashande vatranya viva dravanti.
As the many waves of the rivers flow into the ocean, so do all these great warriors enter blazing into your mouths.
Yatha pradiptam jalanam patanga vishanti nashaya samrida veda tatayeva nashaya vishanti lokas tavapi vaktrani samrida veda.
I see all people rushing full speed into your mouths as moths dash to destruction in a blazing fire. So Prabhupada said that just like insects, although they were big leaders amongst their time, very respected, that they entered the mouth of the Kalarupa just like insects. Foot. He said, like that. Insects go into the fire and they are burned up. And actually, these two verses, we see that one of them is the rivers flowing into the ocean, and the other is moths dashing into the fire. So they represent two different kinds of persons on the battlefield. One, well, maybe you can guess, who would represent the rivers flowing into the ocean? Huh? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. What did you say? His own warriors. Okay, and what about the moths? The Kauravas. That's close. Anyone else would like to try? Yes. Moths. But I thought they all got liberation. Actually, all of them got liberation. The ones... Anyway, you can ask about that if you want to know. Well, I've heard it described that the rivers flowing into the ocean, the rivers are kind of carried by force or circumstance, because water always seeks its own level. So rivers naturally flow down and into the ocean. So, like Bhishma and Drona, they were rather forced by their vows of Dharma to enter into the battle of Kurukshetra on the Kaurava's side, which was fighting the Pandavas and Krishna, because of their vows and because of the circumstances that they found themselves in, being maintained by the Kauravas and having lived in the royal Kaurava court their whole lives. They couldn't very well just leave at the time of the battle. It would have looked very bad that, you know, they were living with them and, you know, their whole lives, and then when it came down, you know, when they were needed, then they just left and go to the other side. And besides that, besides looking bad, Bhishma had made a vow that he would support anyone who was sitting on the throne at Hastinapura. And so, although he never imagined for a moment that such a rascal like Duryodhana would be sitting on the throne, or Dhritarashtra, but he had made a vow to support such persons. So he had to follow his vow. He felt that he should. And Drona was maintained by the Kauravas since he had left his home searching for a cow to give milk to his son. And having been trained, having been rejected by Drupad, first of all, and then deciding to take revenge on him somehow, he took instruction from Parashuram, became expert in the martial arts, and then went to Hastinapura in the hopes of getting a contract with the royal family so that he could train the royal children in the martial arts. And thus he would be supported and maintained by the Kauravas. And then he could also, bring not only one cow, but thousands of cows for his family, and also to take revenge on Drupad, because now he would have the support of the Pandavas and the Kauravas. And he did that. So he was very intelligent to do that. So both of these men were supported by the Kauravas, and after so many years they felt obliged to fight on their behalf. But the moths dashing to the fire, or dashing to destruction in the blazing fire, represents Duryodhana. Because Duryodhana was, as a moth, is attracted by the glittering, flickering flames of the fire as a kind of allurement of sense gratification. So he's not forced, but because of his attraction to the flames for his own sense enjoyment, he entered into the battle with desires to enjoy, just as a moth enters into the fire in this way. Alright, text 30. Now we're going to hear a particularly gruesome part of the Kalarupa, the Visharupa. Lehiyase grasamana samanta lokan samagran varane jaladhi tejo virapurya jagat samagram bhasastava gra pradipanti Vishnu. O Vishnu, I see you devouring all people from all sides with your flaming mouths, covering all the universe with your effulgence. You are manifest with terrible scorching rays. So here, the word laliyase means licking. So the Vishwarup had this huge gaping mouth with big teeth and fire coming out. And as he was chewing up the great warriors in his teeth, just like one eats rice and dal, it's described, I think, in one of the next, in the next verse 32. It's, the previous commentators say like this, that the Vishwarupa was chewing up the kshatriyas just like rice and dal. So as they was chewing along, blood came gushing out and pouring down the side of the mouth of the universal form, and his tongue came out to lick the blood. This is an inscription. So now you know why Arjuna's hair was standing on end. He saw this horrible future. Also, the word Vishnu here means that Krishna pervades the entire universe, so it's impossible to escape his clutches. So says Baladeva Vidyabhushan. So if those who are on the side of Adharma will also be chewed up by the monstrosity of Kala or time, everybody will enter into the mouth of time and be chewed up just like the Kshatriyas on the battle of Kurukshetra. Therefore, the Lord is called Vishnu because no one can escape the long arm of the Lord or whatever it can say. Okay, so let's see. That's the end of this section. Oh, we'll read 31. Yeah, this is the last one. 31. Akhyahime ko bhavamugra rupo namostu te deva vada prasida vijyatam chami bhavanda madhyam nahi brajanami tava bravithim. O Lord of Lords, so fierce of form, please tell me who you are. I offer my obeisances unto you. Please be gracious to me. You are the primal Lord. I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is. So here it says, Akyahi me ko baman ugraru. Please explain to me, O fierce form, O ugra rupa. Namostute. I offer my obeisances unto you, Devavara, O best of the demigods. Prasida. Please be gracious to me. Vigyatamichami. I want to know. What is your pravritti? I want to know what is your mission. Thus ends this section of the Vishwarupa Yoga. Can you repeat that question into the microphone? Huh? No. Well, what should I say? In the previous, in the one earlier purports, it was mentioned that only Arjuna could see. Yeah. Oh, he asked. Oh, yeah. Prabhupada stated that Arjuna asked to see the universal form for others in the future, so that they would know that he is the Supreme Person. And since no one could see the universal form except Arjuna and those who are empowered to see, then people in the future, how would they actually get any benefit from Krishna's manifesting in a universal form? Is that all right? So, yeah, the point, the answer is that although people may not be able to see the universal form, but they can confirm that Arjuna did see this, and it's mentioned here by Vyasadeva, if people accept Vyasadeva, that the demigods saw it also, and that they were afraid. So it wasn't just Arjuna that he was having some hallucination, or just because he was friends with Krishna that he might have seen something, maybe a flash in the sky, and then he just thought it might be God and it might be Krishna, something like this. But the great detail is being described. Sanjaya also is describing it. He was able to see it. And the demigods. So it does lend some, validity to this revelation that it wasn't just Arjuna alone, that there were other people that were able to see it. So although people in the future may not actually see it themselves just from reading the Bhagavad Gita, but they can at least hear the testimony from people who did see it. And if they accept Vyasadeva, or if they accepted it as scripture, then it will make some, it will give some benefit to people. People who are in his, because although Duryodhana himself saw it, he was extremely envious because he's the partial amsa of Kali. Right? But innocent people, they will be swayed and influenced by this. It will make some difference to them. Well, one thing is that he could feel the sun, right? And it may be that he could see some light, perhaps, right? We don't know what was his case of blindness, whether everything was pitch black or if there was sometimes some things coming through. So if that's the case, then he would be able to understand the brightness of the sun, at least. Right? And if not, still, he would know that the sun is giving light and heat to the earth in such magnitude, you know, every day and such strong, because he could understand that much just with his intelligence. So then he could have a mental picture at least what it might be like. I mean, he might have a mental picture of what the sun was like, itself. So then if you could just multiply that thousands of times and then get an idea. I thought of that also. So. Dhritarashtra was asked, one time Dhritarashtra could see. And that one devotee had mentioned that Dhritarashtra was given a boon to see. And then he asked to see the universal form. And he saw that universal form, but then after he saw it, then he requested again to become blind. Krishna showed his Vishwarup to Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. And then Dhritarashtra later saw enough and wanted to be blind again. But I don't know, I've never heard, but this, what we just read from text 19, is called the Kalarupa. It's the extremely gruesome form with the fire coming out of the mouth, chewing up all of the people with blood dripping down their face, licking it. This was not shown to Mother Yashoda, fortunately for her, or to Duryodhana and the others at the assembly at Hastinapur. Yeah, that's the difference. Well, it doesn't say what they were thinking. But whatever they were thinking, they were not seeing the universal form. So they just thought, well, they just wondered, you know, what's going on? Arjuna, you know, is coming out in the middle. Bhishma's already blown the conch. What is Arjuna going to do? Does he want to make peace? He wants to, you know, or maybe he's going to try to fight us all alone? Now he's stopped there in the middle and he's talking with Krishna. What's going on? And they just waited and were just wondering, you know, what is he doing? Because they've never seen anything like that ever before. It's unprecedented. That one of the big warriors comes out in the middle of the battle, right between the armies, and then just stops there. You know, for the whole conversation to finish up. And that they were just patiently waiting there, you know, looking at their watches. No, because they were, you know, they were passionate kshatriyas and they had already blown the conch and they were all ready to kill each other. They were all screaming and ready to go. And so it was just a brief moment. And Krishna took his Kala Shakti and stretched the time out, just like he does with the gopis dancing in the night of Brahma in one evening. So he took this whole time to speak Bhagavad Gita in just a few moments to Arjuna. And this whole thing with the universal form also happened very, rather quickly. So the people were just, you know, other warriors just saw it as, you know, a few moments they were talking. And then suddenly, you know, they saw Arjuna put his bow down and go like this, and Krishna began speaking to them, to him, and then after a few minutes he picked up the bow and he stood up and and then they ready to fight. So they didn't see, most of them didn't see the universal form. But great devotees like Bhishma, they could see it. And yeah, Bhishma and devotees can see. The Pandavas, Bhishma. This is my understanding. That they, because they, because they're as devotees, and they have, they also have an empowered to see. To show Visharup, it means, then they would, of course, he did show it to all the Kauravas, right? But it was like a mystic revelation for Arjuna specifically, so that he would be relieved of this great anxiety and burden of responsibility, thinking that the entire war is based upon, you know, resting on his shoulders. So Krishna showed this particularly for him, so that he could see in the Kalarupa, you know, these great generals entering into the mouth, being crushed to death. And then we'll see the next section that all becomes very clear why this is happening. And actually it's a very important section of the Gita, because here it's Arjuna becomes relieved and convinced of his insignificance and him acting as an instrument on behalf of God, on behalf of Krishna. So on the battlefield, when all of these people died, those men all got Sayuja Mukti, but those who accepted that Krishna was God, they got Sarupya Mukti. So because they were seeing Krishna, they got this benefit. So there is that benefit that they're able to see Krishna, but if they didn't actually accept or understand that he's the Supreme Lord, then they would only get Sayuja. And if they accept him, then they get so much more benefit than just seeing him.